This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Vinny and Haney, two opposites attracted by a paycheck. 105.7 The Fan.
Geronimo has it up top. Ball swings. Now into Reese. St. Thomas on him. Julian with a great spin move and a dunk on his end. Doing some work in there on the block. Queen's got it up top. Handoff from Miguel. Back over to Gillespie. Wide open from three. Swish. That is a sweet-looking shot.
On the contrary.
Patton Jr. slow and getting over there. Reese with a rebound. Double-double for Julian Reese. And that's a nice win for the Terps. Final score, 88-71.
Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland in for the Bobster today. I'll be in for the Bobster on Monday as well, but joining me today, of course, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw behind the glass on this Featured Artist Friday. We're playing Deep Purple for the next 4 hours. You heard that audio coming in today, courtesy of Maryland Sports Radio Network right here on The Fan. Terps, another win at home to improve to 16-1 at home, 88-71 over USC last night. Another game, I believe it's the sixth game this year, where all five starters scored in double digits. Last night, they were led by Rodney Rice, 22 points, 4 rebounds, hit 2 threes, 8 for 8 at the line. Jacoby Gillespie, 20 points, 4 assists. Derek Queen, 13 and 17 boards. Juju, 19 points, 10 boards. And also Selton Miguel with 11 as well. And they led wire to wire. And honestly, in the second half, they fought off USC, who had a 17-4 run at one point in the second half. Still didn't matter. Terps were able to hold on to the lead, a double-digit lead at that. And just another dominant outing, and the big men did their work. I thought Juju was the best player on the floor last night. I mean, his post moves were dominant. He was decisive, played aggressive. Foul trouble yet again, not a problem for them. I love that that's not a dynamic that they have to worry about this year, especially considering they can't really rely on too much on their bench right now.
Even with that second half run that USC went on, you mentioned it's 17-4, and I think they cut it to one possession pretty late in the second half. I'll just speak for myself, watching the entire time, I never felt uncomfortable.
No.
You know, maybe it was the fact that they were at home. Maybe it's the fact that we've seen the way this Terps team has played over the last 9 or 10 games. They've finally settled in to truly who they are, but it just never felt like they were in danger of losing this game, even when USC was at their best. And it started right away. I mean, they came out on fire.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's possible to open a game with a heat check, but Jacoby Gillespie certainly tried, pulling up from the logo with time left on the clock, by the way. A lot to like about last night's performance.
Well, let me just say this. I watched the hockey game because the hockey game was one of the best hockey games that I've seen in a long time. I switched over to check out the Terps. It was 15-3. and the hockey game was too good to watch a college basketball game last night, because that hockey game was spectacular. Canada-US, the intensity. Oh, man, it was amazing game from start to finish to overtime. Everything, the crowd, it was an unbelievable environment.
Yeah, it was. I mean, both of them were. I mean, the Terps, a lot's been made about, I guess, the empty seats. I'm not necessarily tripping about last night. I mean, it's 8:30 on a Thursday night. I guess the crowd seemed to be heavily involved in the game. Every time USC would go on a run, like you said, you didn't really fear anything. The crowd didn't seem to get out of the game. I still think their home court advantage is as strong as anybody despite that. But yeah, I mean, it was two good games on last night. You mentioned a hockey game. The Terps one kind of ended up handling itself to the point to where I was able to focus strictly on the hockey game for the second half of the third period and overtime. But yeah, I've been really impressed. And I forget who the TV commentator was for the Terps game last night, but even he said it at the end of the game, how he's heard a lot of people talk the Terps up, and he's looked at, you know, glanced at them here and there, but being able to see them in person, he has a totally different respect for this Terps team. They're a lot of people are buying into what this team is selling right now.
They're trending up. They got the new fancy nickname, the Crab
Five. Crab Five.
Living up to it.
Yeah.
Everyone in double figures last night. And now you get a little extended break, which is great. You're going to face Michigan State next Wednesday. It's big having that at home, of course. But having that extra time off, also huge. Michigan State has to play another tough game tonight when they travel to face Michigan. So they're in kind of a gauntlet schedule right now. They'll have a little less prep time than Maryland does. I think it bodes well. Crowd should be rocking on Wednesday night.
Yeah, Michigan State's got a big game tonight, of course, against Michigan. And look, these are the top two teams right now in the Big Ten. For my money, I probably would say Michigan has a slight edge over Michigan State in my mind right now, but you could kind of pick your poison with either of them. But like you said, it is a good thing for the Terps at least to be able to get Michigan State at home. Of course, that game is Wednesday of next week, and you'll be able to hear it right here on the Fan Tip Off at 6:30. And Vinny, you did mention the hockey game last night. Canada wins in overtime. Connor McDavid hits the shot wide open. I mean, it looks like three defenders are going to the guy that, and you're going to hear me say the guy because I can't name, but maybe two or three of the people that was on ice, and most of them were actually on a Canadian team that I can name. But it looked like Connor McDavid benefited from three defenders going to the guy that passed him, and he ended up being wide open.
Yeah, and the thing that stunk about that, the start of overtime, the U.S. had some phenomenal chances, and Binnington made some great saves.
Yeah, that goalie was crazy.
Yeah, you know, and both goalies played well. You know, and McDavid, you can only keep him down so long, but they had done a hell of a job up to that point of keeping him down. You know, I mean, McKinnon scored, you know, early on, who's another guy that has elite speed. You know, and then when Tkachuk went out, you know, after the first period for the U.S., that hurt a little bit, but Brady Tkachuk, I was talking to Ed, you know, Brady Tkachuk plays for Ottawa. You know, we don't get a lot of Ottawa games on TV, and they don't play the Caps a ton, so you don't get a chance to really appreciate some of these guys that are playing. Brady Kachuk's awesome. I mean, he was smacking people around. His physicality was unbelievable, and he scored last night. And, you know, I mean, like when you hear him talk, that was the biggest game of his life. Last night, you know, and a lot of these guys that played in Stanley Cups and stuff and the intensity and things. I mean, Trump called the U.S. team during the day to wish them good luck in the game and stuff. So it was a great environment, and, you know, it was a great game. And it was great for hockey because a lot of people watched last night that are not normally watching hockey. And hopefully it will bring more people to the game, which like the, because what was really cool, and ESPN did a phenomenal job all day long, you know, and they're doing it right now. They're still talking about the hockey game last night.
I'm sure baseball is pretty jealous about that because
ESPN
don't get any type of coverage from ESPN.
They just dropped them.
I know.
You know, but the thing about it is, you know, they were like incorporating like the Miracle on Ice stuff, you know, which was really cool, you know, in the pregame stuff. So, I mean, you watched the pregame. I mean, the pregame started like at 5 o'clock. The Sports Center was at the Boston Garden, you know, at the start of the show and everything. So it was great. And, you know, like after the 80 Olympics, there was a ton of people watched because it's U.S. versus Russia. And that wasn't even the gold medal game. But so many more people got into hockey because of that. And we'll see if the same kind of thing happens, that a lot more youngsters get into hockey watching that last night. Because it's going to be like Saturday, if I put on the Caps and the Penguins, it's going to kind of be a letdown, you know?
I feel like a lot of these sports, basketball has done it as well with the Olympics and FIBA and everything. When you get into the tournaments where it's countries versus countries, that's like a cheat code almost, which is why it's kind of mind-blowing that the NBA, who's looking for ways to make the All-Star Weekend more interesting, to make people care about the game again, to make the players care about the game again, hasn't gone that route fully to this point. And I know it's kind of gaining more steam now, but I just felt like that's what people like to see. They like to see the countries versus other countries.
Yeah, and it was, you know, there was only four last night because Russia and Belarus normally would be in it, and there'd be six teams, you know, and they can't be in it because Russia hadn't been, you know, Olympics or any of this type international stuff for a few years now. And maybe if they get back into G8 or whatever, then Russia will be back in. So we'll see how that goes. But, I mean, like with basketball for the All-Star game, could they, you know, have like U.S. versus Europe or something like that where, you know, guys would compete and play hard? I mean, because even like in the Olympics, those guys competed their ass off, you know? So maybe something like that would make it at least interesting because the All-Star game is like, did you watch? No. You know, there was nothing really to watch.
410-583-1057 is the number if you want to get in. Coming up next on the program, the Orioles offseason has come and gone. They have their first Grapefruit League tomorrow. Albert Suarez starting for that one. They did lose a key member of last year's roster to a division rival, and it turns out he believes that they lowballed him. We'll talk about that next here on The Fan.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned, and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The offseason is come and gone. We've got our first Grapefruit League game tomorrow. Albert Suarez, he'll be getting the ball to start that game. Of course, I think that game is televised. You'll be able to watch it on MLB Network and on Madison. But we know the Orioles lost two key pieces to last year's team. They lost their ace, Corbin Burns. He goes to Arizona. And they also lost their right fielder slash DH slash first baseman, Anthony Santander, to the Toronto Blue Jays. And Matt Ryrich, who covers the Orioles for Baltimore Sun, he tweeted out earlier today a story saying that the Orioles made a formal 3-year offer to Anthony Santander late in free agency this offseason, but it didn't meet his asking price. Anthony Santander did sign with the Blue Jays. He signed a 5-year, $92.5 million deal. That equals out to about $18.5 million a year. So what are we thinking here? I mean, 3 years doesn't sound, when I hear that they didn't meet his asking price, that sounds like the number, not necessarily the years most likely. So
I'm guessing what happened, Cordell, is he was not getting a lot of action, and the Orioles are like, whoa. You know, the prices are coming down. Mm-hmm. Let's throw a 3-year deal, $60 million or whatever they, you know, we're going to throw at him. It probably wasn't that. You know, if he says it didn't get to his number, maybe they offered 3 for $15. Who knows what they offered? But that would, you know, and if I'm the player, I'm like, screw you. You know, you guys didn't want me right away. Now you want to jump in right now? No. I'm sure the player got pissed.
I mean, it definitely looks like a screw you. He goes to a division rival at that, too.
It should be noted. I mean, he did obviously wait a while to sign. Mm-hmm. We were all kind of surprised by that. But there were reports out there, and believe what you want to believe, before he signed, saying that he would be open to a short-term deal.
Mm-hmm.
So that leads me to believe that it is a money thing. You know, if the Orioles were giving him 3 years, but it was in that $18, $19, $20 million range, is he back here? I'd probably say yeah.
Right.
I mean, at my initial thought when they gave Blue Jays gave him 5 was that, oh, he was just concerned about longevity, security, more long-term into his career. But, I mean, all indications are he wanted to stay. He said it as many times.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, just an interesting situation. And the Burns stuff, everyone keeps bringing that up. That's a whole different story. But
right.
Between that, plus the Santander stuff. Again, is it just a 1-year thing? Are they both coincidences? I don't know. But it's not a good look overall.
No, I mean, you know, the Burns thing, like you said, that's a separate thing within itself. But you look at Santander, and this is talking about late in the offseason. So this is after Tyler O'Neill is already brought onto the team. This is after they've already started to kind of look at their mock depth chart and is like, all right, we've brought in O'Neill. We know we want to give Kerstad an extra look. Like, but Anthony is still out here. Like, maybe they made an offer to, I don't want to say just to make an offer, but they made an offer clearly based off of, like Vinny said, him not having a lot of traffic. He's still available. And B, them already kind of in their mind thinking that they possibly replaced him with Tyler O'Neill. We're already talking about playing time for the outfield. If Santander is back, I mean, you're really trying to break down where's the playing time going to come for all these guys. So I'm not necessarily upset about it. It's an eyebrow raiser for sure, because I mean, this is a switch hitting power bat that just had 44 home runs last year. One of their clutches batters in their lineup last year. So, I mean, it's definitely something to raise your eyebrow at, but I'm not sitting here today upset at the Orioles, I guess, is now, my feeling.
Would that have been, just because it happened so late and it wasn't like part of the game plan, just because me thinking, because what I've been through, is that the owner jumping in?
Nah, I mean, he's been here the whole time.
No.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, why would his opinions change on Santander between
because
the
he's been sitting there for a while, and it's like, hey, why don't we go get Santander? He's still sitting there.
Oh, right. You're saying the owner suggested
that. The owner suggested that. I'm saying, yeah, because I know how owners work.
I mean,
you know, and I'm sure his group of guys that he listens to, he's calling Elias, hey, Mike, Santander's still out there, man.
Right.
We got the money. Let's go get him.
And like Cordell said, the other interesting part is the timing with you got O'Neill. Now, the only thing I could think of is, all right, O'Neill, if he plays well, it's essentially a one-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
If he plays bad, you're stuck with him for three, I think, or at least two. Yeah, I mean, maybe they viewed Santander as a potential everyday DH, that you could still have O'Neill in the lineup mm-hmm. and Santander every day. That feels a little un-Orioles-like with how deep they are, because you think about, all right, a couple days a week, Adley's going to DH. When he's not catching.
Right.
You're going to have days where O'Hearn's going to DH. You want to get him in there. So they don't really have a team where they need a dedicated DH, which is kind of what I think Toronto is going to do with him. I don't even know if he plays the outfield mm-hmm. for them, to be honest. But it is. I'm coming out of this with more questions than answers. I guess that's the takeaway.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't get the sense that they were, obviously, they weren't desperate to bring Anthony Santander back. And I've talked to people that, you know, aren't exactly the most optimistic about the future of Anthony Santander, even though he, to his credit, throughout his career has gotten better and better in a lot of different ways. People just don't project him to be able to at least match what he did last year, which I could understand. So, you know, he goes to Toronto, and look, somebody had to take that Blue Jays money because
yeah,
nobody
they've been offering
wanted
to everybody.
No, nobody wanted
Cordell
it.
Cordell turned it down.
I mean, I would have taken that. I'd have taken that. You offer me that, I'm taking it for sure. 410-583-1057 is the number. Let's go to PT in Towson. PT, you're on the Fan.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call.
For sure.
Yeah, the thing with Santander, I think if you look at it, Kerstad and O'Neill, that platoon, I strongly believe they will at least break even with what Santander does this season. And then we all agree Kerstad's got to get at bats, right?
No doubt.
So I think it would just kind of clogged up things, and then it was like a good – I mean, you can't pass up. I mean, you got to offer him something because obviously he had a really – obviously a great year last year, but he's 30. He's not in the best shape in the world. He's a below average fielder. So it made sense to let him go. But what I wanted to talk to you guys about real quick is the leagues, obviously, as you guys know better than anybody, are changing. The NFL football is all about passing now. The NBA, college basketball, all about shooting threes. Major League Baseball is all about the matchups. And if you look at the, and that's why not paying Burns makes sense. The smarter teams, you're going to, as we've learned the hard way last year, you need 6, 7, 8 starters, and you need a great bullpen. That's the future of baseball because it's all matchups. And if you look at the playoffs, Gerrit Cole, he had 5 starts in the playoffs, right? averaged under six innings a start, right? The only, ironically, the guy that had the best start, of course, is Burns. But if you look at every other team, look at Kansas City, right? Six playoff games, none of the three starters, we each got two starts, averaged more than five innings a start. Cleveland, 10 playoff games, the same thing. No teams in the playoffs, and it really matters, are leaving their starters in. It's all about the matchups. And now if you look at the Orioles bullpen, they've got like at least four different guys who were closers. I really think people are selling it short. And if they spend the $200 million on Burns, then it's not, you can't just spend the $200 million, you know, on somebody else. Just because you don't spend it on him this year, you're not a child. You're not like, oh, I got this $200 million, I got to blow it on something. No, you take it with a measured approach. You've got a ton of young guys that are super talented. That money's going to go to them. What do you guys think?
Real quick, PT, and I agree with a lot of what you said. I'm just curious to find out who are these three possible guys in the bullpen that you think are closers.
Oh, right. Soto's got, I guess he's got a better arm than anybody. Of course, the big man, Felix. Mm-hmm. And then Sir Anthony, but he closed pretty well for us last year. I tell you, the guy that I think people are kind of missing is the left-hander, Perez. Mm-hmm. If you guys obviously get some pretty good seats. So if I ever was to make my way down to get pretty close, Perez's stuff is off the charts. I mean, that ball moves like... So I think he's a guy also that, you know, he was a big-time prospect a few years ago. Kind of took a while for him to find his way. But he's a big-time talent, too, don't you think?
No, I appreciate the call, PT. And look, I'm on record for being a CNL Perez guy, and I'm in the minority with that. And I know how bad he can look when it's not going good. But when it's on, Perez is out of this world good. I will agree with that. I don't necessarily agree with the – with the closer options. I don't think that they have a bullpen full of close guys that can be closers. We've seen this movie before. We've seen Gregory Soto try to be a closer. That didn't work. We saw Sir Anthony Dominguez. I'm still haunted by some of those ninth inning collapses that he's had in the postseason. Late in the season. So I'm off of that. Batista, of course, but he's in wait and see mode. But I do agree with your overall point about the game trending towards having a dominant bullpen. And I'm very optimistic about this Orioles bullpen. That said, the Burns thing, sure, you could say starters don't go deep into postseason games. And for the most part, you're right. But Burns was one that does go very deep into the game. We saw it last year. Guys like him and Framber Valdez, you know, those are throwback pitchers that can go deep into game. Framber Valdez, it seems like he's the one guy in the league that you never know. He could pitch a complete game shutout. He has those types of moments. But, yes, those guys are very far and in between. But I agree. I'm optimistic about this bullpen as well. 410-583-1057 is the number if you want to get in. Coming up next, we'll play you some of this Orioles sound. We have Jackson Holliday, who spoke to the media, Albert Suarez, who's starting tomorrow, also the manager, Brandon Hyde, as well. That's next here on The Fan. You just heard from Orioles manager there, Brandon Hyde, talking about Albert Suarez, who will be starting the game for them tomorrow against the Pirates in their first Grapefruit League game. And, you know, he mentioned there they're stretching him out as a starter. And last year, you know, Albert Suarez was the honorable mention in my mind for team MVP. When it came time to put my ballot together for team MVP, I was a little upset that I had to leave him off just because of the guys that you have to put on there. But he is a guy that for sure should be brought up anytime you talk about the success that the Orioles had last season. And I don't know what to expect from him this year, right? I mean, I'm hoping that they're not relying on him as much as they did last year. I mean, we're talking about another 35-year-old pitcher who, you know, last year might have been the best year of his career, to be honest with you. But I don't know what that looks like if you have to replay that movie again and rely on Suarez the same way this year. I think he's very talented. He's very useful in a variety of ways. But I'd like that Swiss Army knife to, you know, not have to get pulled out as much as maybe they had to pull him out last year.
They're giving him a shot.
Yeah.
You know, he earned the shot. I mean, I can't think of another player, not just baseball, professional sports in general, with that big of a gap in terms of being in the majors. Prior to last year, the last time he pitched in the majors was 2017. a 7-year gap at his age to come back, and then just to come back alone,
mm-hmm.
he threw 10, 15 innings, would have been something. But to throw 133, to be a great starter and reliever, sometimes serving both of those roles within the span of 7 days, I mean, there just aren't guys that can do that anywhere in the league. And I don't know if he's going to do it again this year, but he's earned the right to do it. It's good that he's getting here early in spring training. He's getting the early work. So we'll see how he looks tomorrow. It'll probably only be an inning or two of work, mm-hmm. but be exciting to see him.
Either one of you guys got concerns just because it seems like a lot of the pitching people are guys that have been hurt or been hurt a lot, and they're old. Any concerns going down?
I think there's natural concern these days around the pitching position in general. But then we talked about it a lot. You've got two guys that are north of 35 years old in your starting rotation right now, and that's not including Albert Suarez. So, yeah, I mean, the big fella coming back off Tommy John surgery, we don't know what to expect from him right now. So it's a lot of questions around this team, but specifically the pitching staff for a variety of reasons.
Well, oddly enough, I think I have more injury concerns with some of the younger guys than I do the older ones. I mean, think about the two old guys they added, at least for starters. Sagano, I mean, sure, we haven't seen him in the majors, but he's been durable in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlie Morton, for being as old as he is, he always hits the post,
right.
Makes 30 starts a year. I mean, how well he performs, it could start to see a dip in production. But if you compare him to the Max Scherzers of the world, the Justin Verlanders, similar age group and length of career, he's been out there almost twice as much as those guys have.
Let's hear from the guy that'll be getting the ball tomorrow, Albert Suarez. Here he is talking about trying to improve from last year.
I think I'm well prepared to be able to start the first game. It means that I improving, I'm getting better, and for me that's a challenge.
He's talking to him quite a bit last year. He is a guy that is very appreciative of the opportunity that he has right now. Because like you said, Nolan, to be out of the game for that long and then to come back and make the team, you know, get a spot, get opportunities, that's one thing. But to do well in them, that's another. So he's very conscious of that. You hear him right there, still conscious of trying to get better, even at 35 years old, trying to improve on last year, where he was one of the biggest surprises, I think, in all of baseball.
Well, I'll tell you, they don't need him to improve. Match what you did last year. Come close to what you did last year. That'll be more than enough. I mean, they didn't go into the offseason or enter spring training here with the thought of him being in that starting rotation to start the year. At least, I wouldn't think so. But the interesting part of that Hyde comment that we heard a little earlier is at the end, he said, we're stretching him out to be a starter.
Just in case.
So, a little interesting there. I mean, it's still early in spring. We haven't heard any injury news that would indicate that he's in line to take over a spot in the starting five. But maybe it'd be easier, best way to put it, be easier to be stretched out and then be asked to go short than the opposite.
He's on standby. I think that's what it is right now. I think he's on standby. Let's hear one more. This from Jackson Holliday. He's talking about what he worked on in the offseason.
Yeah, just continue to work on some adjustments to my swing and to get stronger and to try to improve in every aspect of my game. That's kind of something that I've focused on ever since I've gotten drafted, and I feel like I'm in a really good spot.
I'm excited to see him this year in a year where he's not kind of kicked off the diving board and into the deep end of the pool. Like he's prepared now. He's ready for it. He's anticipating it this year. Whereas last year was kind of like, here you go, kid. Let's see if you can stay as hot as you were in the minors. And we saw how that went. I think, you know, that rough year last year should be able to do wonders for him this year.
Well, I think he's just going to be much more confident at second base. You know, going into year two playing second base, because I mean, his throwing, it just looked like Harbs talks about, you know, like when you think you can't play fast, he didn't look like he was playing fast. Maybe, you know, like he was thinking too much. I think now, you know, he's going to be much more natural at second. I'm hoping and I'm guessing that, you know, with his talent and his ability and his background, You know, I mean, his dad played. His brother's going to be the first pick in a draft. You know, he worked his ass off all offseason to show everybody. You know, and he talked about, you know, I got to get stronger. What did he add, 10 pounds or something, too? Because he looks like he's, you know, rocked up. I mean, his forearms look like Popeyes.
That was spinach, not ground beef for Popeye.
Right. I mean,
it's a new era over here. You got to get some protein. But, yeah, we're all excited about Jackson, no doubt about it. Interesting thing for me is, do you challenge him in spring at all? Do you any sort of competition there at second base? Because they haven't come out and said, oh, he's the everyday second baseman. And you really wouldn't do that yet this early in his career. I mean, you want to keep some motivation there. But does he split time with a Ramon Arias there this spring just to give him that? I don't know. It's like training camp in the NFL. Guys are battling every day. The cliche, iron sharpens iron. I mean, I don't know if it would be best to just sit him down right now and say, you're starting at second base on opening day. Nothing can change that. I mean, you got to keep that motivation there.
No, I agree. Definitely give him something to work for, somebody to compete against. That's what these guys thrive off of. That's what they should thrive off of, is competition, wanting to beat guys out. So, yeah, I agree with you. And I don't think that he's been told, like, this is your spot to lose. I think it's like, look, go out there, go take that job. And I think that's what he's ready to do. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll talk some NFL, look at the AFC North. We know what the Ravens need this offseason. What do their competition need this offseason? What is Pittsburgh looking for to finally win a postseason game? What's Cleveland doing to make themselves look relevant again? And the Bengals. Bengals are trying to get back in that Super Bowl race. What is going to happen with them? I would imagine a lot of that is keeping their own in-house, but we'll look at the AFC North next here on The Fan.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.